Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth. And I'm glad he does. I hope this will be a blessing to you. I'll confess I'm a little tired in body. I pray that God will touch us in our spirit here. I'm going to try to share with you what he's gave me. Galatians chapter number 4, verse 19. If you found it, shout amen. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice there, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. That's what I want to preach on tonight. Children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Father, I thank you for this night, for allowing us to be behind your desk again, for this Scripture, Lord, that has spoken to my heart this morning and this afternoon. Now, God, I can't do a thing without you. I can't stand, I can't live, I can't move. I know, God, where it comes from. I'm praying you'd fill my mouth, guard my tongue, preach me inside the bounds of this book. I pray you'd be glorified in everything said and done. God, you must increase and I must decrease. I pray you'd use us for a little while. Bless your people, fill them. There may be someone here tonight, God, unsaved. It'd be a good night for them to choose God, the call of God, and come and be gloriously saved. Do your work for your glory in the King's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to try to preach just a few minutes tonight or a little while on children of promise. That is us. Let's look at these verses quickly tonight if we can. My little children, you know who Paul's speaking to there. He's speaking to the saved, and whom I travail in birth again. It's like Paul is a woman in travail. This is causing Paul much pain because they have been deceived. They have begun to lean into the law again when grace abound. Hey, and where sin abounded, grace did. Amen. A plus. So there it is. Instead of wanting to be in the free pardon of sin and under grace, they are leaning toward the law. Someone has come in and he's telling them it's causing Paul a lot of pain. He said it's like birthing you again until Christ be formed in you. We got to grow you up. You can't take a newborn baby, lay it out here on the floor, and it take care of itself. Someone has to care for that child. I'm afraid in the church world today, if we failed in any area, it is in this area, not to disciple, discipline, and direct the newborns within our walls of our congregations. Newborn babies must start on the milk. Hey, I'm afraid that they put novice in positions around in places, and it's tore the church all to pieces. We're not ready to do anything until we're eating the meat of the Word. Paul said, it's hurting me. It's hurting me. I'm in travail here. What's wrong? Why have you done what you're doing? I'm wanting to help you. He said, I desire to be present with you now. I'm going to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. This is going to be a little stern. I'm not speaking softly anymore. I want you to hear what I've got to say. This is important. I'm telling you, this has eternal consequences. You need to know. If you're doubtful, what's the children coming under you going to be like? You've got to know. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, did ye not hear the law? You not hear what the law says? Guilty. Amen, Brother Jimmy. That's what the law says. Hey, there is none righteous, no, not one. The law does this. Look, the law, by the law is the knowledge of sin. It just shows us we're sinners. That's what the law does. The law says, you're no good. And we have to look at the law and say, you're right. Paul said, don't you hear it? Why would you desire to be under the law? For the life of me, these folks that say, Sunday law, Sunday, they're preaching all this stuff. You can't eat this, you can't do that. Listen, we choose to worship on Sunday. It's not a law that I worship on Sunday. At one time in the history of the church, there was a law and they had to be there on Sunday. That's not today. That's not in the time in which we live. I worship 7 days a week, praise God. I just choose to get together with the family on certain days of the week, and he sets the table, Michael, and we feast from the king's fare. Are you still with me? For it is written, now we're getting into some good stuff right here, that Abraham had two sons. Now Paul's in travail here. Here's what you're going to see in this. You're going to see two sons, two wives, and two covenants. Paul says, it is written that Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. God always recognizes the second birth. You go through the Bible, Cain was born first, but he killed Abel. You're going to see that there wasn't anything wrong. Oh, Ishmael has got it all. He's the prime kid. Listen, he's the number one son. But he was of a bondwoman. He was of the flesh. He wasn't of the spirit. He wasn't of the promise. He wasn't by the word of God. It was Sarah's idea. Hey, how about this? I'm going to give you, I'm not waiting on God anymore. God said he's going to do it, but I'm not seeing it happen. So I'm going to go ahead and do it my way. Get you a girlfriend and have a baby, and then we're going to call that ours. And the moment it happened, she was angry and upset. In that day, it was legal to have another wife. But watch this. Just because it's legal doesn't make it the will of God. You better search and see if what you're about to do or doing is in the will. Or here's what it does. Minus blessing. Just subtract the blessing. He wants to bless us. It's got to be His way, in His will, His time. Sarah, just wait, Sarah. Yeah, but I'm too old to have a baby. That's His plan. That's His plan. If you could have a baby, then man could have done it. But here's the plan, Sarah. You dead and dry. You couldn't have a baby according to the flesh if your life depended on it. But when God touches something dead and dry, guess what? Life comes out. Here we have, had two sons, one by the one. As soon as Isaac is born, Ishmael becomes another fella. There's no problem. I couldn't find anything in the scripture saying anything wrong with Ishmael until Isaac's born. And then, you know what? He's a rascal now. But God knew it from the beginning. That's why they named him Ishmael, because he's a wild man. You want to see this? The first man still bothers the second man today. You're not my problem. Right here's my problem. I got a news frame for you. You're your problem too. You are your own problem. Here's our greatest problem, right here. Every day. That natural man is still, the spirit is enmity against the flesh. the natural man is still battling the spiritual man. It was that way from Genesis, praise God, to Revelation. It'll never change until He appears and we shall be like Him. Then I'm out of this natural thing. I'm in that glorified thing. That's going to be better. You still with me? I'm trying to get to my message. Stay with me. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman by the promise. Which things are an allegory? This is a story. He gave us the story in Genesis to paint us a picture for today. That's what he done. It's a story that just brings something to light. So here we have this. For these two, now we have the two covenants. We have the old covenant. You hold your Bible is two covenants. The old covenant and the new covenant. And that's why I can't understand why people, I know it's still the Word of God. People want to relapse. They want to go back underneath the old covenant. Why's that? We got a new covenant. And I preached on it not long ago. It's better. It's better. The new covenant's better. Wasn't nothing wrong with the old covenant. No, the law is perfect, converting the soul. Why is that? Because it shows us we're a sinner, but the new covenant shows enables us to be saved. It's better. You still with me? I'm trying to hurry. For this Agar is Mount Sinai. That's where the law was given, is all that's referring to, and answers to Jerusalem, and which it now is, and is in bondage with her children. The law still had them held down. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free and the mother of us all. Now, this verse right here, this twists me up just a little bit. For it is written, you'll find this in Isaiah 54 and 1. Isaiah 54 and 1 comes after Isaiah 53. Hello? Isaiah 53 is a perfect picture of a crucifixion by a prophet of a Hebrew before a crucifixion was ever known to a Hebrew what it was. There it was. They're showing this, and it's the perfect description of what Jesus is going to do when He gets here. He's a root out of dry ground. Rejoice there, barren that beareth not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than he which hath an husband. Now watch this. Sarah for a long time went barren. Now, when he gives this in Isaiah 54, he's referring to Israel coming back when they recognize the Messiah. He's speaking to Israel that they will be regathered. They will have what God promised. God can't lie. He's going to do what He said He was going to do. Hey, but also there's a reference here to this. Paul shows us in here that isn't it good when the New Testament commentary answers the Old Testament question? And Paul's saying, here's what it's like. It's like the one that couldn't have a baby. And she cried and cried and couldn't have a baby. But hey, look here. She's going to have a bunch of babies. Now, I think this is inclusive, and I'm proving it scripturally. I think this includes us bunch of Gentiles that got saved and got moved into the family. Now, why would you say that? Because the next verse. Look what he said about it. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. He's not talking to Jews right here. He's talking to a bunch of Gentiles. And what are we? The children of promise. I got to reviewing this just a little. I'm going to give you three things real fast. And I'm more tired than anybody in the building, I believe, tonight. I'm going to give you three things right here. Look here. I couldn't find. Here's what Abraham done to Ishmael. He booted him out. Now that's hard. That would be hard to have your oldest son. You're booted out. But here's the thing. He's the son of the flesh. You know what this thing has to do? He boots the natural man out. This thing has to die. Praise God. Hey, how can we continue in sin if we're dead to sin? This thing has to die. So he boots us out, if you would, Brother Jimmy. He booted out Ishmael that he might take Isaac in. Now you can't find where he done anything else other than give Ishmael a skin full of water and a loaf of bread. That's all I could find. Now, if somebody finds something different, I wish you'd point it out to me. But the preacher couldn't find where God gave His firstborn son a loaf of bread and a bottle of water. And He booted him out. I can't find where he came back. He felt sorry for him. He done anything, Brother Johnny, other than that. He put him on the road. Why? Because that was of the flesh. And he's only going to bless that of the promise. And he has to bless the promise. Glory to God. He doesn't have any other choice than to bless the promise because he said he would. And he can't back up. And he can't lie. Glory to God. So the son of the promise, here's what he done for him. First, he instructs the son of promise. He does it in an unusual way. I can't find where he give Ishmael any of these three things I'm about to give you right here. First, he give the son of promise, he give him instruction. You're going to find in Genesis 22, when God spoke to Abraham, Abraham spoke to Isaac. God said, look here, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take him and offer him up a sacrifice. Ooh. Stay with me. He's booted the firstborn out. And God's saying, this one is going to die. So here's the instruction that the father gives the son. Come with me. I can't preach without thinking about Colin. I think about him a lot. Dusty's off the hook. Nah, it's all in his name. It's all in Dusty's name. He and Joe Beth. But I'm thinking about this, Daniel. I'm thinking, boy, that'd have been a hard thing to do. God speak to you and say, hey, take that thing out there that you think that you love more than you love yourself and come give him to me. Give him to me. You know what the son does? He follows the instruction of the father. Randy, I can't find where he argued. I can't find where he debated his father. Oh, Abraham said, come on, son. Where are we going? We're going to offer a sacrifice. I see the fire and I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? My God going to supply himself a sacrifice. Follow me. Just follow me, son. Oh, I would to God that I'd have started as early with Dusty as I have with Colin and just said, son, follow me. Follow me. Glory to God. Let me give you the path of life. Let me instruct you in the way you ought to go. Don't go to the left or the right. Follow the Lord. Get on the straight and narrow. Glory to God. And just stay there.
I can't find where Ishmael got any of that kind of instruction. And Isaac's offered. God spares him. But now Abraham knew he'd raise him up again, even if he took him. Boy, for those of us that have buried loved ones, saved by the grace of God, isn't that a promise right there? Hey, they may have departed for a little time, but one glorious morning, He's going to resurrect them again. That'd make a Presbyterian shout. Second Timothy 3:16, the Bible says this, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. You know what He's doing to the children of promise? Instructing us. You know why? Listen, don't expect lost people to live like they're saved. They're not supposed to act like you because they're lost. They don't know, they don't follow the instruction because they don't have the instruction. You know what the children of promise have? We have the Word of God. The Word of God. Hey, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. There it is. It's instruction in righteousness. It's the thing God would have us to do. There it is. Children of promise. Just like Abraham done to Isaac. We have instruction. But number two, we have this. We have influence. We are influenced. Because we're children of promise. I'm getting my scripture right here. Genesis 24. What happens here? The father sends the servant to seek a bride for the son. Isn't that good? The father just sends a servant. He says, go get my boy a wife. But here's a particular kind of wife you've got to find for him. And he did. And now we see that servant show up. We see that bride come. We praise God. There is the influence. Now, let's come to the children of promise. Who is that? No man can come unto me, John 6:44, except the Father which has sent me draw him. Who does that? The Spirit of God. You know what the Spirit of God does? He says, come. He says, come. He knocks on the door. He beats on your heart. He said, you know you're guilty. And the natural man says, I'm not guilty. But the Spirit of God whispers in the ear to the natural man and something begins to show up in us, Randy, and we know it's wrong. That's that conscience that God put in every person. That's why your dog bites you, you don't care. He's a dog. You don't have that. Say, my dog has one. No, he don't. He's a dog. But you got one. And the voice, the best definition I ever heard was from Brother King in that book, The Price of a Coconut. The voice that speaks to conscience is the Holy Ghost. That's how we know we're lost. And He speaks to us. Isn't that good? And He spoke. He spoke to the bride. The servant spoke to the bride. And the bride said, I'll come. Yeah. Now no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. He does that by the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit has come, look, here's what He's going to do. So it's not only the draw, but it's the direction. Here's what He's going to do. When He's come, He's going to guide you in all truth. Not some truth, not a little. How much truth? All truth. He's going to guide you. There's the direction we know we need to go. How do we know that? We're following the influence because we're the children of promise. Isn't it good to be one of them? I made old Dusty a promise or two growing up. Not a lot. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to keep them. But I meant to keep them, but sometimes you're unable. But I told him this. I said, I don't care if you succeed. I hope you do. But that's not going to be contingent on. But if you try, everything I got's yours. All you got to do is try. Because it's all yours. And it's not that I've got wads of stuff, but what little bit that is there is His. Now I'm trying to influence you in that. What's this? Number three. First, we can't find anywhere where Abraham instructed Ishmael. It was only Isaac. He not only instructed him, but he influenced him by his servant. And what the servant picked, what the servant got for him, he took. But number three, and it says it right here, is this. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Here's what he gave him. He gave him his inheritance. When I read this evening in the in my office, I felt like Randy should shout a moment ago. This is what it done to my soul. Genesis 25. Here's where was the inheritance that I found. Genesis 25. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Ishmael, goose egg, a loaf of bread, and a bottle of water. And I'm going to tell you, Abraham's sitting pretty good at this time of his life. And you know what he gave? Everything he had to Isaac. Now, Paul says, that's what we are. We're like Isaac. We're the children of promise. It's not the size of your wallet that measures you in the eyes of God. No, it's the condition of the heart that makes all the difference. If I could have peeked into heaven, there'd been a lot of people I wanted to see go into heaven before me. I may get to see some come after me. But there's some that's gone that I'd like to just got a peep through the window when they stepped in there. That's the one I'm talking about. I remember when my Papa Ledbetter died, and then Grandpa Ole and Grandma Gertie and Granny Ledbetter and all them, and then of course my mama, and then my daddy. I've buried a lot of my family. And I knew they was going to make it, Johnny. I satisfied my soul and left a testimony. They knew Christ Jesus is Lord and Savior, and that's all I needed. That's all the assurance I needed. Last night, standing in the ER, Jimmy May holding David's hand, she said, "Mike, I believe this is it." And we was praying and crying, and I said, "I believe it is too. He's fought a good fight." We didn't know what the morning was going to bring. But but in that moment, there's a peace that passeth understanding. She said, "Because I know if he leaves tonight, it's not going to be long. I'm going to see him again." Boy, isn't that good? Isn't that good? And she knew she'd see him again. But of all the ones that's left, I'd like to peep through the window when you're a stone stepped into heaven. Never had anything of value in this life. Nothing. I know. I moved his clothes basket. We asked him where his stuff was. He said, "This is it." I mean, that's it. It'd take two tractor trailer loads to hold anybody in here, probably. You're just your stuff. He had a clothes basket. But he had it here for heaven. He had a heart for God. And he was a child of promise. Wesley Campbell said when he knelt down in the prayer room, he said, "Mike, don't think it bad of me. I slid in beside him and I didn't even pray." He said, "I felt like I was intruding on Eurus's prayer, but I wanted to hear the old man pray." And he said when he opened his mouth, he said, "Lord, this is Eurus." Wesley said, "Glory to God, he's on a first name basis. Here's Eurus." What a problem. I know it's not about the stuff when you get there, but it's about the change. I don't think five of us could carry the crowns that the old man was offered when he got there to give back to Jesus. Why is that? Child of promise. You remember, Jason, what he said that night over here at the donation box. He said this. He said, "I got a dollar. I got a dollar and took his last dollar and put it in the box. God multiplied it. We raised $1,000 that night with a handful of people." Child of promise. Let me read you a verse and I'm done. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I'm just going to tell you, if you got Christ tonight, you got it all. You've got what won't wear out. It won't disappear. You'll never extinguish it. You can't exhaust it. If you've got Him, you got it all. But if if you got Him, you're a child of promise. Isn't it good to have the promise? If you don't have Him, no promise. The reality is this. You either claim the promise of God or face His wrath. Let me tell you, the promise is better. The wrath is real. The promise is better. I'm saved from the wrath to come. Redeemed from the curse of the law. It's better to be a child of the free woman. Isn't it sweet tonight? Come get us a song, Brother Randall. I don't know your heart tonight. Everybody in the building looks saved to me, but you may be unsaved. There's a lot of people sit through church service after church service, and you know what? They're trying to do it by the law. But what they do or they don't do, instead of being a child of promise, let's stand to our feet tonight. If you need to pray, you are welcome to come. We'd love to pray with you.
Page 57.
You are welcome to come. We'd love to pray with you.
Page 57.
You are welcome to come. We'd love to pray with you.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.